today on the Run to the Top podcast.
And there's so many things, you know, in racing and in life we can't control, and we can let that suck our energy, or we can dominate the controllables. And I use that word dominate because it's a really strong word. And what I see is that the best do is, like, whenever they're focusing on something they can't control, they bring their attention back to what they can.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Sinead Hockey.
Hey guys, this is Sinead back with you again for this latest episode of Run to the Top, brought to you by Runners Connect. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I hope you're having a wonderful day so far and that this podcast makes it even better. I'm so excited to introduce you to our guest today, but before I do that, I just want to fill you in a little bit on last week's episode, just in case you missed it. I sat down with author, nutritionist, and runner Matt Fitzgerald, who has written several books and articles on the psychology of running, including his popular book, How Bad Do You Want It? Mastering the Psychology of Mind Over Muscle. During the interview, Matt discusses what all goes into a runner's mental capacity and shares some tips as to how we can better push our limits. Matt will also be speaking at our 2017 Mental Training Summit in just a few days, where 15 of the sport's most renowned psychologists, authors, and runners will share their insight on how to get over your anxiety, overcome setbacks, and become a more mentally resilient runner. The summit starts Friday, November 17th, and ends Sunday the 19th, so be sure to register at runnersconnect.net/mentaltraining. And if you're listening to this after November 2017, don't worry, you can still check out the archived summit at the same link, runnersconnect.net/mentaltraining. Also, don't forget to enter to win a free copy of Matt Fitzgerald's book, How Bad Do You Want It? The contest ends at midnight Eastern on November 25th, 2017, so be sure to get your name in fast at runnersconnect.net/giveaway. I wish you the best of luck. On to this week's episode. Just like Matt, Dr. Sinjar Kampoff will also be speaking at our Mental Training Summit, and I loved what Dr. Kampoff had to say in her summit interview so much that I asked her if I could steal a little more time and have her on Run to the Top. Dr. Kampoff is a world-renowned performance psychologist with over 16 years of work coaching elite athletes, teams, and even Olympians. She's also the director and founder of the Center of Sport and Performance Psychology, the founder of the High Performance Mindset Podcast, and the author of Beyond Grit, 10 Powerful Practices to Gain the High Performance Edge. Today, Dr. Kampoff will share with us a little about those 10 practices and how we can develop them to achieve stronger, more confident running. I can't wait to bring Dr. Kampoff on, so we won't waste any more time. After a quick break to thank our sponsor, we'll be right back with our interview. Did you know you can save on life insurance just for being a runner? Health IQ is an insurance company that works to reward health-conscious people like you with lower insurance rates. Learn more and get a free quote at healthiq.com/runnersconnect. Thanks so much for joining us, Sinjar.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. And Sinjar, you will actually be speaking at our summit later this week. So our listeners are going to have a good dose of Sinjar Kampoff this weekend. But Dr. Kampoff, first off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background? What really sparked your passion for running? And then how did that evolve into a career in performance psychology?
Excellent. Sinead, that's a really good question. What I do right now is I coach people on the mental side of performance of running, but also performance as a whole. And, you know, when I really think about how I got started in that, it was my experiences as a high school runner I was really, you know, one of the best in the state of Iowa. I won the mile my senior year in high school. And it was sort of like my high school years where I really started paying attention to my mindset and what were my thoughts before I was running or during my running. And I started reading lots of books on performance psychology. I remember getting a subscription to Runner's World. And the first article I'd always read was the Mind and Body article. And so it was always sort of like my passion to study sports psychology. And then ran cross country and track at the University of Northern Iowa, where I got a full ride scholarship, and then pursued my master's and my PhD in sport and performance psychology. And, you know, when I think about how I got really interested in it, it's because of my experiences as a runner, some great experiences, but some also experiences where I struggled that really allowed me to learn a lot more about my mind and kind of tools and strategies to perform at your best. So now what I do is I work with people on the mental side of sport and performance, and I'm also a marathoner. So I've ran 15 marathons now and 5 Boston marathons. The Boston Marathon is my favorite for many reasons, but that's kind of what I do now just to keep my mind and my body fit is to train for marathons. It's also a good challenge.
Absolutely. And Syndra, I do want to talk to you a little bit about your own running later on in this podcast, but I know obviously it helps to have a background in the sport to really, really relate and really know the minds of runners. So clearly you've been coaching runners for over 15 years now, and you coach a variety of people, including business professionals, other athletes, whatever the case may be. But Syndra, you've also written, you write for a number of publications, but you've also written your book Beyond Grit. So I did want to talk to you about that a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about Beyond Grit and what inspired you to write it?
Yeah, so, you know, I think you really pointed out something that I work with a wide variety of people, from Olympic athletes to, you know, elite runners to business professionals. I also work with the Minnesota Vikings, so I provide mental training and work individually with the players. And so I've kind of developed a few niches, one obviously in running because of my own background, but another one in football and helping football teams and individuals just, you know, perform at their best more often. And my, you know, my PhD is in sports psychology, so I've been studying this field for, gosh, about 20 years. And then I've also kind of been, you know, working with people at the same time, trying to figure out, okay, what actually works? What sticks? What are the ways that I can talk about the theory and the research that people understand and people get? And so it's kind of just been over the last 20 years where I've really figured out how to put these tools and strategies into a really easy to understand form. And I like to, as you're probably going to, you know, hear throughout this interview, I like to speak in acronyms and just ways that people get, because, you know, my struggles in college, I did, you know, see a sports psychologist, but the way that we talked was so theoretical that I really had a hard time figuring out, like, okay, what do I do? And so the Beyond Grit book, and the subtitle is 10 Powerful Practices to Gain the High Performing Edge. And it's really about these 10 practices. And so these are 10 practices that are based on the research in sport and performance psychology as what differentiates those who, you know, are at the top of their game versus those that aren't, and those succeed in compared to those that don't. But there are also these 10 practices that I've seen the best in the world develop and got to help some of the best in the world develop. And so I figured out, you know, over these last many years of, like, what works, what doesn't, and what do athletes really need to be at their best. And that's what the book does. I wanted to write something that was really easy to understand. The best thing is about the book is, like, really short chapters. And it's many chapters, you know, based on each of these practices, but it's really easy to read. I wanted it to give it to be a book that I could hand, like, you know, a Minnesota Viking that they would, like, read and be excited to read. And so one of the guys on the team, Adam Thielen, who is one of our star receivers, wrote the foreword. And then I have lots of stories about running, of course, and my own personal experiences running. So, you know, when you asked me, Sinead, like, what inspired me, I wanted to write a practical guide that anybody could use, you know, business professional, a high school runner, a Minnesota Viking, you know, that they could use to, like, understand how to implement these practices. And And I also think people in my field don't necessarily talk enough about how. They sort of say, well, you know, you have to work with me and pay me all, you know, this mm-hmm. money to understand like how to do this. And so what I've tried to do is provide like basically each chapter starts with a story, then why you need to develop that with like a tool or strategy. So really trying to keep it strategy based that, you know, we can all use in our running, but also in our life.
Absolutely. I love that about Beyond Grit. I love that it's more actionable and less just theoretical. So when I was going through your 10 practices, like you said, these are practices that they apply to running, yes, but they also apply to life at large too. They apply to absolutely everything. So do you mind just telling us a little bit about each of these practices, all 10 of them?
Absolutely. And so, you know, as people are following along, if they'd like to go to the website beyondgrit.com/bonus, so B-O-N-U-S, they can actually download this PDF of the 10 practices.
Oh,
and
great.
Yeah, what I found is like people just like love to put it up by their computer or in their training log just to help them remind themselves of where they're going and the practices they need to develop. And the book is called Beyond Grit because the first one is grit. And as we're going through these, I'd encourage people just to listen for like, huh, which one of these am I really great at? Or what are one or two of these that I'm great at? And then what are one or two that, yeah, you know, I could really develop. And, and that's, also on that bonus page, I have a survey you can take, you know, to help you understand where you are in the 10 practices. And then in 3 weeks, I have a workbook coming out, and part of that workbook is the survey. So you can take a survey to better understand where you're at. But for now, I would tell people just to listen, think about what they're great at, you know, what could they improve on? And so the first practice is grit. And grit really means, you know, staying passionate and persistent for your very long-term goals. And I use Angela Duckworth's research as a foundation to this. And really what it means is that in face of setbacks, you can go after your goals with excitement and a deep commitment. And you know exactly what you want long-term and you can stick with it. You sort of view like, you know, your journey as a marathon, right? That you can stick with it. So that's number one, get gritty. Number two is get clear on your purpose. And what we know is the world's best. They know exactly, you know, why they do what they do. They keep their why front and center. And this really keeps them motivated and excited. And in the book, I have some cool practices on how to find your why, but then also how to write your purpose statement. And what we know is that, you know, leaders, the world's best athletes are really intentional with their energy and they're purposeful with how they show up. And that's really what number two is about. Number three is about mastering your thoughts. And this is so important. When I think about, you know, my struggles in college, it was like this that I had no idea what to do, with. And so what the world's best do is they really master their thoughts. You know, they realize that they're going to have some automatic negative thoughts, but they're really empowered to talk to themselves in a really powerful and positive and productive way. So that's what number three is about. Number four is know yourself to master yourself. And I think the foundation of high performance is really this one is knowing who you are, knowing your tendencies, and you know, being in tune with your thoughts and your emotions and your actions. And what the best do is they know themselves very well. So that's number four. Number five is a fun one. It's called Dominate the Controllables. And what this is all about is like focusing on what you can control. And there's so many things, you know, in racing and in life we can't control. And we can, you know, we can let that suck our energy, or we can dominate the controllables. And I use that word dominate because it's a really strong word. And what I see is that the best do is like whenever they're focusing on something they can't control, they bring their attention back to what they can. And it's quickly, like, you know, might be a second or two they're focusing on what they can't control, but then they bring themselves back to what they can. And I've seen a lot of runners struggle with this in races where, you know, I was running this 20-mile race one time and one person next to me was getting so frustrated at the water tables, you know, and again, we can't control that. Yeah. So yeah, number six is own the moment. And what that means is the best day present moment focused. And they know that they can't control the past or the future, but are really empowered to stay in the present. And there's lots of strategies and tools that you can use to work to stay in the present. Number seven is choose empowering emotions. I use Barbara Fredrickson's research as the base here. And her research in a book called Positivity shows that, over 30 years of research, that we thrive when we experience what's called the 3-to-1 ratio. So 3 empowering emotions to every 1 negative emotion or disempowering emotion. And so in that practice, I talk a lot about, like, how do you actually choose empowering emotions? And what does that mean, to choose confidence and to choose positivity and to choose happiness and to choose to be an energy giver? So that's what number 7 is about. Number 8 is own who you are. And I think, in my field, there's not a lot of talk about authenticity, which is really what this practice is all about. And knowing who you are and then showing up as yourself, no matter what situation you're in. I think that's really hard for some people. And then, they might compare themselves to others. Mm. But 8 is really about showing up as you and as your best self. And then number 9, so important, something I did not know when I was in college, is live and let go. And it's about how to let go of things that don't go perfectly for you, like poor races or, difficulties in training. And how do you actually let go of those from a psychological perspective so you can really stay in the present? There's a lot of cool strategies in there about letting go of mistakes, something that I was never taught as an athlete. So I'm really passionate about that one. And then number 10 is choosing your courage zone. So basically what that means is, like, we can get really stuck in our comfort zone, just doing the same things we've always done in our training or always done in our racing. But actually where we grow is in our courage zone. And that's actually where we thrive. So I talk about how, like, we have to do what's a little scary. And kind of what I mean by that, my favorite quote is, like, it's a Donna Williams quote. And it said, if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. Mm. And I think, we can just really get in this kind of comfortable place where we don't push ourselves. But really where we thrive is in our courage zone, and doing the things that are a little scary actually wake us up and keep us living on purpose. So doing the things that are really scary are really important, because, courage is not the absence of fear. It's actually moving forward with that fear. And I think that the fear is always going to be there when you're trying something new. So that's a little bit of just an overview of the 10 practices. Again, you can get a PDF download at beyondgrit.com/bonus.
That's great. I just listening through, Sindra, there were definitely a few where I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. And there were a few where I was kind of like, yeah, I could probably work on that a little bit. So So I would say, I think it was number 9, trying to let go of mistakes you've made. That is a big one for me. I'll stay up 20 minutes at night and just think about stupid things that happened 10 years ago, for instance. So that's a big one for me. I know I can definitely work on that one. But of all of those, Sindra, which would you say you've had to work on especially? Would you say number 9 is yours as well?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know what? What I'm really trying to work on is number 8.
Oh,
and
really?
That's the own who you are and be authentic. And, in my own journey, and I think about just the way different spaces that I'm in. And so I do a lot of public speaking where, I'm in front of, 500 people, 1,000 people giving a talk, or, my work in football where I'm typically the only female on the field. And so this is number 8 is really one that I have to continually practice. Mm. And I find when I am really myself, that's when I come alive. So one of the things I'm really trying to work on stage is, like, just being more of me and letting me show up, and in some spaces it's easier, others it's more difficult, but that's the one I'm really working on still. I'm pretty good at dominating the controllables because it's like I've trained myself to do that and, focus on, I try not to focus on things I can't control. Mm-hmm. Number 1, I think it's just ingrained in me. Like, I'm super gritty. I think maybe that's because of my experience as a runner and how you have to stay gritty and you have to get through the difficult stuff as a runner and, like, the discomfort. Number 4, know who yourself to master yourself. I think that's an ongoing journey that all of us, no matter if we're, 20 or 40 or 60 or 80, you're just continually trying to discover who you are and, who are you at your best. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So going off of that, when I was reading through those, I kind of figured that number 4, knowing yourself to master yourself, and then number eight, owning yourself, are especially important to running. And I think that's because while runners, we come in all shapes and sizes, but I think we do tend to fall into this trap of comparing ourselves to others and kind of expecting, you know, kind of having this feeling of maybe inferiority when we don't have the same strengths as others. We do tend to have very unique strengths to ourselves. So going off of that, how can runners kind of benefit from knowing their individual strengths and weaknesses, and how can they go about kind of pinpointing those as well?
You know, absolutely. So number four, you know yourself to master yourself is really important in terms of the key to success. And, you know, to me, self-awareness is just foundational to high performance, and it's foundational to you being at your best consistently. And I think when we're self-aware, like we know ourselves, we know what we do well, we know what we need to improve on, we know like what excites us, what jazzes us. Like we've also thought about our purpose, and we know why we do things, and we keep that as, you know, as foundational. And, you know, self-awareness is just so important. It's like the key to reaching the next level. And I think the world's best, they know themselves very, very well. And, you know, they're in tune with themselves. And so how do you develop this? I think it's being in tune with your thoughts and your emotions and your actions, and just like being a silent observer of them. And it means like not judging yourself, you know, when you sort of have that negative thought or you experience those negative emotions, or maybe when you do compare yourself to someone else, but it's just noticing them and noticing what excites you. You know, when I think about kind of my journey in terms of getting out there with my message and writing this book, and even some of the work that I've done in the field with, you know, if it's cross country teams or college teams or, you know, football teams, it's, you know, continually paying attention to what excites me. You know, when you have like this energy run through your body, what's going on? And, you know, how can you replicate that? And I think the best know who they are. And I heard someone last week talk about leadership and how self-awareness is just an essential part of leaders, and that it's something that we're continually developing. So I definitely think number four is important for us as people, but also as runners.
After the break, Sindra will explain to us why grit is more important than gift and share with us how her experience at the 2013 Boston Marathon impacted her own why. This is Sinead Honke, and you're listening to Run to the Top at Runners Connect. Have you ever wondered why we get penalized by life insurance companies for family history, BMI, and other attributes, but we don't get rewarded for, you know, running and being active? If you can save money for being a good driver, it only makes sense that you should be able to save money for living a healthy lifestyle. And Health IQ agrees. Health IQ is an insurance company that uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like you and me. And that's pretty amazing, given science shows risk of heart disease is 49% less and risk of all-cause mortality is 30% less for runners than it is for the average Joe. Not such a bad bonus for logging some miles. And what I really love about Health IQ is that you can actually submit your running logs to get lower rates. All you have to do is take a Running IQ quiz and plug in your data from Strava, Runkeeper, Garmin, and even your latest race results to save as much as almost 26% on your life insurance. Learn more and get a free quote at healthiq.com/runnersconnect. Again, that's healthiq.com/runnersconnect. Thank you so much to Health IQ for sponsoring Run to the Top and for rewarding runners for doing what they love. We are back with Dr. Sindra Kampoff. And Sindra, earlier you mentioned the importance of grit to success. And I know this is a recurring phrase in your book and across your website. So can you explain what this means? Why is grit more important to gift when it comes to success?
Absolutely. You know, you can probably think of some people who had a lot of gift. They had a lot of talent, but they didn't use it. And so grit really means using your talent and using the skills that you have. And to me, it really means like knowing what you want long term, knowing why you're pursuing those goals and then sticking with them. And I think people who are super gritty, they have their goals written down. And number two, they know why they want to pursue those goals. And so, you know, I'd even encourage you to write your goals down and then next to it, write why. And then the third thing is, can you keep going? Can you stay committed to your goals despite obstacles and setbacks? And, you know, I think of several people who are amazing examples of this. One person that I just read this article about, Shalane Flanagan, over the weekend. And there's this awesome article in the New York Times about the Shalane Flanagan effect and how, you know, she just won the New York City Marathon, the first female in over 40 years to do it. And she didn't win an international race until, you know, this year. Yeah. And she became a pro in 2004, right? So it took her 13 years of sticking with something. And, you know, for that, for her, that meant 130 miles a week. Mm-hmm. And you just all the sacrifices and all the commitment that took. And the article also talked about how she didn't take a vacation in 7 years while she was training for a marathon. Until, you know, the spring when she had a stress fracture. So talk about somebody who is very gritty, who can stick with her goals and know exactly why she's going after them. And, you know, and one thing that I saw, and I just saw this Instagram post that she posted this week that, you know, she shared a picture of her training log. And at the top of the training log was number one, you know, win the New York City Marathon. Mm. And number two, you know, get in the top three. And she said that she was, you know, manifesting that since August. And that's what super gritty people do. They have their goals written down, but then they remind themselves every day. You know, in the book, I talk about like this daily grit session. And you can actually find the instructions for the daily grit section on the bonus page too, where I talk about how what the best do is they have their goals written down. They have their long-term goals or short-term goals written down. But also they have this daily grit session that they do every single day where, you know, they start off their day, or, you know, they do it some part of their day where they remember where they're going and what are the goals they're going after and why are they going after them? And I think we can just kind of, we forget that, you know, it's just like our life is just so like in the routine, you know, and we sort of forget to like step back and think about where are we going and why are we doing this? And when we do that, we become more intentional with our time and our energy. And what I've seen over time is that people are able to reach their goals quicker because they are focused on them every single day, you know? And so when I think about myself and, you know, probably I ran a 3:05 marathon, I don't know, like five times. So I'm trying to get under 3 hours. But every single time I've run a 3:05, like I'm very intentional with my training and I know exactly what I'm trying to go after. And it's usually like a personal best or this 3:05 time, but it drives me, right? So, and the key is you got to write it down. Cause if you do, if you just like think it, that's not going to be as intentional, but if you ink it, that's really key. And so, most people don't have their goals written down and then even fewer people really have this daily grit session where they're focused on where they're going. And obviously you can do this in running, but also in your school or in life as well.
I love that. I love the inking it, you know, rather than just thinking it. I think that's a great way to really think about this, but that was a great example that you used with Shalane Flanagan. I watched the latter half of that race and just seeing the pure joy on her face coming through the finish line there was just so satisfying. And you know that's because she has worked so hard to achieve that moment. And like you said, it seems that I know a lot of runners, and myself included, who they tend to find success by writing things down. That seems to help people keep their goals and their why centered, like you said earlier. Yes. So, Sindra, do you mind talking a little bit more about how runners and how people in general can kind of keep that why centered in their life and how they can maybe do that through these grit sessions or other means? How should people go about doing that?
Absolutely. Great question. So in the book, I have a chapter called Own Your Why. And you know, some of people who are listening have maybe heard the TED Talk by Simon Sinek. And I really like this quote by Simon. You know, he said, working hard for something we don't care about is called stress. But working hard for something we love is called passion. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And in this TED Talk, he talks about how a few companies really, you know, they know what they do and they know how they do it, but very few know why they do it and then communicate from that. And I think about the same thing about people is we know, you know, what we do. And so that might be your, you know, your job, that might be your role in your life or the multiple roles you have in your life. You know, that's like you're a runner. And then have you thought about how you're at your best when you're running and what does your best mean and what does that look like and what does it feel like and what are your thoughts when you're really at your best? But then the next level is, can you think about why you run or why you do what you do? And so I take it a next step above what Simon Sinek talks about. And I say, can you own it? Okay, can you own it? And really what own it means to me is that can you communicate your why to other people? Mm. And then, you know, do you remind yourself every day why you do what you do? And then, you know, can you let it inform your decisions, what you say yes to and what you say no to? And in the book, I have an exercise called the so that exercise. And basically you write so that on the left side of your paper 6 or 7 times. And at the top of your paper, you write your roles, right? So I might write, and so I think about my running and I might write a runner. I also might write, you know, I'm a high performance coach. I'm a professor. I'm a writer, you know, all these different mother, you know, wife, all these different kind of roles that I play. And then I'm going to answer the question, what good comes from the work that I do? And why do I do it? So what good comes from the work that I do? And I'd encourage people to really think about their ripples, meaning like when you really like show up as your best as a runner, how do you inspire other people in your community? And that really helps me show up inspired and excited and because I know people are watching me, right? Like I know I'm a role model in my community. And when I show up as excited and happy to race, like, you know, I'm also like helping other people do that. And so when you write, you know, that your prompt is so that 6 or 7 times, you start realizing like all the reasons you do what you do. And because I don't think there's just one reason we do it. And I also think like reminding ourselves of these different reasons at different times can be really motivational and inspiring. And so in the book, I talk about my why. And I'll give you a few examples of like my so that's, you know, so I do what I do to help others kind of show their talent and skill that sometimes can be hidden by, you know, overthinking or comparison, which you mentioned, or lack of confidence. You know, I do what I do so I can learn from the world's best and share what I've learned. I do what I do so I can be a good role model for my 2 boys, Carter and Blake. You know, I do what I do so that I can inspire other women in my field, you know, especially my work in football. There's very few people, females who are working in sports psychology. So it's like, you know, and thinking about that as I drive there can be really helpful because then I show up so much more inspired and passionate about what I do so I can continue to do good work. And I think the problem is, Sinead, is that we just go through the motions. Mm, yeah. We wake up, maybe go for a run, you know, go to work, or go to school, but we don't realize that we can show up intentionally with our attitude and our confidence and our energy and our passion. And really understanding your purpose and your why can help you do that. And the cool thing is like every single person's why is different, but owning it is the difference that can help you stay inspired and passionate and engaged in your running or your career or your life. And so I think about it as like owning your why is one step above knowing it. It's like really like using it to own your energy and show up intentionally.
Mm, I love that. It kind of injects some purpose into what you're doing. I know it's so easy to feel like you're kind of going through the motions. You get up at 6 a.m., go for your run, and then you go to work. And then you know, it's just kind of like rinse and repeat kind of thing. But when you really own your why, like you said, that really just does inject some purpose in there. And I don't know about our listeners, but I'm going to go write down all of my so that's after this interview.
And nice.
Yeah, I
awesome.
Love that. I really do. I know our listeners might be on their runs right now, but I would definitely advise you if you're on your run, go write those down after you run and kind of see what's your why? What's your purpose? So, Sindra, getting back to you and your own experience with your why, I know when I was researching you that you are at the 2013
Boston Marathon, which for runners, that's a day that will remain, I think, ingrained in our minds for quite some time. But you had a very, very impactful experience there, as did most. But you really, it seemed like there was a lot of reflection that day on your part and just a lot of thoughts that kind of solidified your why and your outlook on life. So, Sindra, do you mind just telling us a little bit about that experience and how it kind of reinforced your why and changed your approach to coaching?
That day was one of my best races ever. So it was a day I ran a 3:05, and I mean, really just crushed the race from my own perspective. And I remember running up Heartbreak Hill and counting the people I passed, just to kind of keep focused ahead. And I passed 120 people up the hill and then just ran down it so fast, and so I got, across the finish line. And, my face is indescribable. I just have this huge smile on my face. To PR, at Boston, it's pretty difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And I had given so much in the race that I actually couldn't quite walk. So my quad was tightening up, but I was so proud that it was tightening up after the race and not during, the bombing happened. So I finished about, 45, 50 minutes, before the bombing. But the most impactful thing for me was I was just a couple blocks away. And so our hotel was right near Boylston Street. Mm-hmm. And so, one of my good friends that we were with, and we kind of all crowded in the hotel room, just to support each other. And we really weren't sure what else was going to happen. And one of my really good friends, his brother is an FBI agent, and that sounds all good, but we were getting kind of inside scoop on what was happening. And that was really terrifying because we had heard maybe there are multiple bombs along the course. And of course your mind goes to hey, we're right at the finish line. Mm-hmm. Is there a bomb, in our hotel? Am I going to be able to get home? At that point, my two boys were in kindergarten, second grade, and my son had come home that day and asked our nanny, did my mom get killed by a bomb today?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this poor kindergarten, So it really it was gut wrenching. And for me sitting in that hotel room, there were lots of moments of silence where I all of a sudden my race didn't matter. I went from a really big high to what really matters here? And it was that moment that, I asked myself three pivotal questions, and it was why am I still here? Why do I do what I do, and what good comes from it? And it was really eye-opening because it was, I know people, if you're at the bombing, you can relate to me, but even if you're not, maybe you've gone through something that's traumatic like this, right? And, mm-hmm. and you really start thinking why am I here? And that was, when I got home, very tough. I couldn't be around loud noises for a good solid month and probably had some post-traumatic stress. One of my grad students published an article in the Sports Psychologist where she interviewed people who were at the bombing about resilience and how they developed their resilience skills. Fascinating article. But for me, it was just a wake up call, hey, Sindra, stop playing so small with your life and just wake up, let's play a little bit bigger and let's go after your big dreams. And for me, that meant continuing to run marathons and try to push that PR. It also meant working in pro football, writing books, I started a podcast since then. So I think that day really inspires me still today. Cause it's for me, I think we only get one chance. And I think so many times, you can relate to me, meaning you're kind of playing small, mm-hmm. but it takes a lot of courage to go after, your big goals. And it also takes a lot of grit and patience and persistence that I think we can easily just kind of give into the monotony, or we give into I'm not worth that, or I can't do that, into the self-doubt. And so I'd encourage people to, dream one step above their, what's comfortable, and then go after it, write it down and go after it. And, I think that's actually where you get the most energy, is when you go after, your big goals.
Absolutely. I love that story. I saw that on your website actually. And And I think it's so important, like you said, to just kind of take a moment and think about why you're doing the things that you do in your life, why you're going after, you know, your next PR, why maybe you have chosen the career that you've chosen, and just really think about what it all means to you, and if it's going to be something that you are proud of when you look back on life. So I think that was a great, a really great thing that I saw on your website there. And I did want to talk to you about that. I know, Sindra, you actually, that kind of sparked your desire to really launch your Beyond Grit workshop and help people to understand their why and kind of go after that why. So can you tell us a little bit about that workshop? How does this workshop really help people kind of gain confidence and then push past that comfort zone, like you said?
Absolutely. So that is a workshop that you can find on beyondgrit.com. And it's a series of four videos where you learn about your purpose. And I give you some examples of not only just the so that exercise, but where you can actually like write your purpose statement, which is pretty cool, you know, and then that helps you just even show up more intentionally. We also talk in the workshop about confidence, which is, I think, a big barrier for a lot of people. And I talk about how confidence is a decision and, you know, the strategies and tools that you can use to be more confident, which really, you know, at the base of that is like your thinking patterns and what are you thinking about related to yourself? Because, you know, what you think about, you become. And so the workshop really allows people to better understand themselves, you know yourself, to master yourself, get really clear on your purpose, and then, you know, master the thoughts that you have. So I'd encourage people to check that out at beyondgrit.com, and you can sign up for the workshop there. It's free, doesn't cost anything. And then, you know, all of the kind of tools and strategies are in the book Beyond Grit. And you can get a copy of that on the website. There's a $5 discount on the website, beyondgrit.com. And then it's also available on Amazon.
Awesome. Great. We will link all of that in the show notes for this podcast. And Sindra, I know you've got this workshop coming out, and you're speaking at our summit this weekend, but what else is on tap for you? Do you have anything else in the works right now?
One of my big goals, and I'm going to say this out loud and the listeners can hold me accountable. I have a big goal of writing 5 books in 5 years.
Ooh, okay.
So something that I know is like really foundational to my purpose is just providing strategies and tools that, you know, really make a difference for people. And so my book Beyond Grit came out in September. And so I have a workbook coming out with it or that relates to it and gives you like room and space to write to answer all the exercises and actually like go through a journey of self-reflection and discovery. And that comes out in 3 weeks. And so you can actually pre-order a copy right now at beyondgrit.com. So that's what I got going on. And people have been saying, okay, Sindra, what's your third book? And I don't know yet. But when I get those two done, I'm sure I'll figure it out. And then in the spring, I would like to do an online course of these 10 practices. So if people are interested in learning more about like, how do you do it? How do you develop kind of this mental edge, which is really what the 10 practices are all about. Like, I'd encourage people to go to my website, drsindra.com, and you can sign up for an email there where I send out some of the same videos, Sinead, that you watched. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that you'll get an announcement when I develop the online course and finalize that. But that's what I got going on. Nice. You know, a few of the teams that I work with are just crushing it right now. One is a number one in the nation. Then another is number one in the division. So it's also like helping them continue develop their mental edge and be at their best. So, kind of giving of myself and serving others so that, you know, they can get the glory. I'll just be behind the scenes.
Well, that is fantastic. And that I commend you on your 5 books in 5 years goal. That won't be easy, but I'm sure you're going to do it. And I can't wait to see your new books coming out. But Sindra, again, we will link below everything, your site and your books in the show notes here for people to check out. But Sindra, thank you so much for joining us today. I have learned so much in this interview, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. So really do appreciate you taking the time to do this for us.
Thank you so much, Nate. I really appreciate you having me, and appreciate all the good work that you do there at Runners Connect and the awesome job on the podcast.
I don't know about you, but I just learned a lot about my own strengths and weaknesses just now. And I especially loved Sindra's So That exercise. If you don't have a pen and paper on you right now, definitely consider jotting those down later. There's definitely something to actually writing it down rather than just thinking about it. Like I said earlier, Sindra is going to be speaking at our Mental Training Summit in just a few days. So if you're interested in hearing more from Sindra and our other incredible speakers, you can register at runnersconnect.net/mental-training. If you can't make the live version or you're listening to this after the summit weekend, don't worry, you can still buy the summit in its entirety at the same link, runnersconnect.net/mental-training. Thank you so much again for joining me today, and I hope you do so again next time. Until then, have a fantastic week.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.